The lesson, which is also the text for the sermon, is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, where Moses said to the Israelites, "When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all that you have is multiplied, then your hearts will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Whether you are single or married, grandparent or grandchild, the odds are excellent that sometime over the past couple of weeks you heard the question, 'What are your plans for Thanksgiving?' This morning, as we join ourselves to the Israelites, who were listening to Moses' swan song sermon, which we heard a little bit of in our lesson this morning. As we join ourselves to these Israelites, we are going to answer the question this way. This Thanksgiving, we are headed home, thankful for the journey and thankful for the destination. 40 years had passed, a 40-year journey to their promised land. I know that there are some people who like to get in the car and drive and drive and drive. Even if they're going to Texas or California, they prefer the highway to the runway. They prefer the drive down the road to the rise up into the sky. For these people, the journey is half the fun, but 40 years. Can you imagine getting into a car on and off again for 40 years before you finally reach your destination? Well, the Israelites, finally, after 40 years, had reached their destination of the Promised Land. What do you think they would have said after that journey? What do you think their thoughts on that journey would have been as they sat on the plains east of the Jordan River preparing to finally enter the Promised Land? Well, why don't we ask a couple of them? Here comes one of those Israelites now. His name is Achan. Hey, Achan. Achan. Would you mind sharing with us some of your thoughts, Achan, on the 40-year journey that you just completed? And Achan replies, "You want my thoughts on the journey? How many different ways can I say horrible? You want to know what the journey was like? I'll tell you what the journey was like. Sand. That's what the journey was like. I had sand on my tent. I had sand in my tent. Sand was sprinkling out of the creases in my robe. When I got up in the morning, I had sand in my hair, sand on my face, sand in my eyes, sand in my food." Oh, and speaking of food, oh, what a menu. At least it was consistent. Let's see. On Saturday, we had manna bagels, and then on Sunday, manna cake. Monday was manna crackers. Tuesday, we had manna muffins. Thursday was manna pancakes. Friday was manna rolls. Saturday was manna bread. And then the whole thing started over again the next week and the next and the next and the next. I would have killed somebody for oat bran. That's how sick I was of manna. And have you ever been thirsty before? I don't mean the way you people get thirsty, like, oh, I could maybe go for an iced tea kind of thirsty. I mean your tongue stuck to the roof of your mouth, your lips cracked and bleeding, that nasty, gunky white stuff at the corners of your mouth, and your throat is so hoarse that you can't even talk. You're so thirsty, you look for a single drop of dew under the leaves of the scruffy plants nearby. And then you finally get to a so-called oasis where there's supposed to be good water to drink, and all you find are scorpions scurrying around everywhere. Every step that I took on that journey, I had to be careful that I wasn't going to step on some kind of venomous snake or something. And then I remember this one time where the Lord led us directly into this deep ravine. There were about 50 different ways we could have gone around the ravine, but oh no, the Lord just had to take us straight in there. And I didn't think we'd ever get out. It was so steep. I skinned my knee. I sprained my ankle having to step into one of those human hand stirrups, and it was humiliating having to get pushed up from behind. Oh, and one other thing. I had to bury my father and my mother during the journey, and I don't think I am ever going to be back to that cemetery to put flowers on their grave. You want my thoughts on the journey we just finished? How many different ways can I say horrible? Okay, Achan, thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. But hey, here comes another Israelite who just finished the journey. His name is Caleb. Hey, Caleb, would you mind sharing with us some of your thoughts on the long journey that you just finished? And Caleb replies, you want my thoughts on the journey? How many different ways can I say amazing? Why? Just listen to what our leader Moses is saying right now. The Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, I don't think there's enough time in the day for me to tell you about all of the amazing miracles that the Lord used to break us out of bondage in Egypt. You'll just have to open the book of Exodus and read it for yourself sometime. But that was just the beginning. The Lord was just getting started, because then he led you through the vast and dreadful desert with its venomous snakes and scorpions. Now, sure, there were troubles, there were problems during our journey. I mean, we expected that, right? We live in an imperfect world. Everywhere you go in the world, there's wonders and wastelands, there's beauties and beasts. The important thing is that the Lord kept his promise to protect us and provide for us. We didn't really have any military training, but he gave us a great victory over the army of the Amalekites when they ambushed us. And yeah, there was sand. We were walking through a desert. Of course there was sand, but the Lord gave us sandals that never wore out. When there was a water shortage, he brought you water out of hard rock. And talk about food. He gave you manna in the desert, something your fathers had never known. Now that daily gathering of wonder wafers served to humble and to test us. And it also gave us all the nutrition that we needed during our journey. And I remember this one time when the cloud of the Lord led us directly into this deep ravine. And at the time, it was kind of hard to figure out why the Lord would take us that way. But looking back on it now, I see that he was teaching us how to help each other. And he was teaching us endurance. We made these human pyramids to even help the stragglers, the people who were struggling at the end, so that they could climb out of the embankment. Yeah, there were a lot of troubles. There were a lot of problems along the way during that journey. But on every stage of that journey, every single day, I was learning patience. And I was learning to trust the Lord more and more. Every time I saw the Lord make and keep a promise to us, my faith in him grew stronger and stronger. Especially his greater promises. To get us here, to get us across this river and into our promised land, but even more than that, to get us across the final river and into his eternal kingdom. You want my thoughts on the journey we just finished? How many different ways can I say amazing? Okay, Caleb, thank you for your thoughts. You know, whether you are young enough that most of your life is still laid out in front of you, or if you have reached the age where you understand most of your life is in the rearview mirror, this Thanksgiving, stop and take a few minutes to reflect on your journey. Now, there is no doubt that as we wander through the wilderness of this world, the sand of sin gets everywhere. Sometimes it sticks to our face. The whole world can see what we have done wrong. More often, the sand of sin gets stuck in the creases of our hearts, and it comes sprinkling out, and it shows itself at the worst possible times. You know, we look at our journey and see the mistakes that we have made, sometimes it leaves us feeling very thirsty. Thirsty for just a single drop of relief, a single drop of God's forgiveness for the sins that we have committed. We journey through this world. You've got the scorpions of disease scampering around over here. You've got the snake of pandemic slithering around your feet. And then you have times where you don't know why, but the Lord leads you directly into a ravine, a deep place in life. You have no way of knowing how you're going to get out and no way of understanding why the Lord would lead you in that direction. Now, when we look back at our journey in this world, are we going to see all of these things like a bunch of Achans, just one giant negative? Or are we going to look back at the journey of our life and see things the way that Caleb did, to see the Lord at work during our journey? We are not going to arrive at the right answer to that question with a positive attitude seminar. But we will come to the right answer when we look back at our journey and we see the Lord keeping his promise to teach us, to train us, to guard us, and to guide us across our own river and into our own promised land, the promised land, the kingdom of heaven. Because while we are journeying in this world, there are times when it gets really rough. There are times it gets so rough that we might want to say, whoa, stop the bus. I don't want any more of this. You know, when cancer cells are growing, or you're in a promising relationship and then it falls apart and you're left alone again, you can't get over the guilt of what you did to yourself with your own bad habits or other people with your careless thoughts and your words, that is the time to stop and look back and see all the amazing things that God has done. To see God fill our pantries and our ovens and our refrigerators and our microwaves with good things way beyond manna. To see God using those deep places, the ravines in our lives, to teach us patience and to teach us helpfulness toward each other. And most importantly, to see God quench our need for forgiveness. To see God transfer the holiness of his Son to our account. And to take our sins off of us and place them on Jesus' back on the cross. You know, the journey through this world is not easy. It hasn't been easy. It's not going to be easy in the days and years ahead. But how many different ways can God's people say, our God is amazing? This Thanksgiving, we are going home, thankful for the journey and also thankful for the destination. Let's go back. Against our better judgment, let's go back again to our friend Achan and ask him, hey Achan, how do you think you're going to get across this Jordan River into your final destination? And Achan, what do you think life is going to be like when you finally get into the promised land? And Achan says, well, first of all, it's going to be impossible to get across the Jordan River. There's like 2 million of us Israelites, and Moses, brilliant planning, got us here in the springtime when the river is raging at flood stage. Moses. Listen, he just keeps going on and on up there. He must get paid by the word. Anyway, I'll probably have to break my back building a raft or something, and then I'll still probably drown in the river anyway. And once we get across the river into Canaan, I remember 40 years ago when I was a little boy, we got close to the promised land once. We sent spies in there. And they came out and they were talking about giants, fearsome warriors who lived in that land. We're probably all going to get slaughtered. I'll just have to grab whatever I can get my hands on to get some kind of sense of security. Okay, Achan, thanks again for sharing your thoughts. Hey, Caleb, how do you think you're going to get across the Jordan River into your destination? And once you get there, Caleb, what do you think life is going to be like? And Caleb says, well, I'm not exactly sure how we're going to get across the Jordan River, but I know this. On our way out of Egypt, the Lord got us across the Red Sea, and the Jordan River is nothing compared to the Red Sea. The Jordan River is just a little babbling brook. So if the Lord got us across the Red Sea, I'm sure he'll figure out a way to get us across the Jordan River too. And once we get into that promised land, I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. But I was one of those scouts. I was one of those spies 40 years ago, and I walked out of the promised land with a bunch of grapes that was so rich with fruit, it took two men to carry it on a pole. The Lord has gotten us this far. He has gotten us here safely. I know He is going to give us that promised land too. Just listen to what Moses is saying. When you have eaten and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, He's right. God got us to this point. He is going to get us across that river to our destination, and He is going to bless us in ways that we have never even dreamed of. All right. Thanks, Caleb. But what is it going to take for us to get across the river and into our own promised land, the promised land of heaven? It is going to take a miracle way more impressive than stopping the flow of the Jordan River, which is how the Lord got the Israelites into Canaan. It is going to take the miracle of the forgiveness of our sins. And that is a miracle already achieved by our Savior Jesus. We have a free pass to enter our destination, our eternal home, whenever God decides to take us there. Home is a place of trust, a place of acceptance, a place of security. And that's what our destination of heaven is, except that it's perfect and it lasts forever. When we arrive there, God is going to bless us in ways that we never dreamed of. This Thanksgiving, we are going home, thankful for the journey and for the destination. You know, in the Bible, there is an actual man named Achan, and he really was there on the plains of the Jordan River listening to Moses' farewell address. But Achan was not listening very carefully, or if he was, he didn't believe a word of what Moses was saying. And in the Bible, there really is a man named Caleb, and he was also there in person listening to Moses' farewell address. And Caleb listened carefully, and he believed the words that Moses spoke. God, make us Calebs. Make us people who are thankful. Thankful that we are headed home. Thankful for the journey, and thankful.